Appreciate you, man. Love you. Appreciate you. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. That's my brother and my sister way on back. And I'm so grateful to Pastor Lincoln and his wife for this opportunity. Once again, I just want to say I thank the Lord for my wife, Brenda, being in our midst with us, and our friends from the church that we attend in Greenville, Mississippi, Unity Faith Church, where our pastor is Pastor Jackie Davis and his wife is Betty Davis. And we have Mother Clara Bailey and Minister Martha John are being in our midst today with us, traveling all the way from Greenville, Mississippi to be here with us. And I thank God for them. Amen. The Lord is good. Friday night, actually Saturday night, last night, that Lord sent a word, behold the Lamb of God, helping us to make sure we got our focus and our attention correctly. And then he sent a word in the 9 o'clock service, seeking for the Lord. And I know some of you might say, well, that all sounds good. Seeking after Jesus, seeking for the Lord. Then we have this way of saying, but you don't understand. You don't understand my life. You don't understand what I've gone through. And life has many challenges, I must admit. And because of the challenge of life, many has grown weary in their walk with God. Many has feel like that's just no hope. They lost their faith in Christ. Mainly we do it because sometimes things just don't work out the way we plan them to work out. Or they don't work out in the timeline that we expect them to work out. We put a timer on God. We push that button. And we say, Lord, okay, this is how much time you've got to do what you need to do. And if you don't do it, I got your back instead of him having our back. I got a backup plan if you don't do it. So many have just lost their faith and their confidence in Jesus. But I want to speak to us today that whatever the reason that your faith faltered, God desires to take your life and make it over again. And I know you might be saying, well, my life has just been messed up. I've gone through things. I've made mistakes. And I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy for God to reveal himself to me. But I want you to know that God desires to take your life and reshape it, make it all over again. Some feel like I'm too far gone. Surely God doesn't love me. Surely God doesn't care about me. But these are deceptions and lies from Satan himself. Because Satan knows that his opportunity is well over. But your opportunity still stands as long as his breath is going in and coming out of you. So whatever reason you've gone through, whatever reason you faltered, most of the time, it's our own fault. We just have to admit it. Sometimes, maybe it's not our fault. It's just a result of what somebody else did. But nevertheless, it's up to us to be the ones to choose that I'm going to just let God do with me what he wants to do. Amen? And here's the good news about it. What do we normally do on January the 1st, when it comes up, from January, December 31st to January the 1st, what do we do? New Year's resolution. Next year, yeah, I'm going to really get in there with God. Next year, things are going to change. But I got news for you that you do not have to wait for January the 1st for God to bring this change in your life. Today is your January the 1st. Today is your new beginning. Today that God can take your life this very day and turn it all around and surprise you and everybody else around you in a way that you never thought possible. That's the mighty God we serve. God is not limited to a certain time of the year. It's not like, well, they waited for the troubling of the water once a year and whoever got into the water first was made whole. This day God is troubling your water. And I want to talk to us about, Lord, make me again. Jeremiah 18 chapter, first verse. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good, not to the vessel, but as it seemed good to the potter. Maybe, just maybe sometime, we get in a little trouble because we're saying, God, this is what I want you to make me. Lord, this is what I want. But God is saying, I'm the potter. You are the clay. And I know the type of vessel that would be perfect for you. There's nothing like being in God's will, becoming and being what God wants you to be. For me, being what God wants me to be. No need of looking over at the fine glass when God says, I want you to be a plate. But I want to be a glass, so people can get a good, cool drink out of me. But God's saying, no, I want you to be a plate so that I can put some food on this plate so people can eat a good meal. See, it all has its part. And every one of us has a part to play in this universe. Every one of us has a part to play that as we interact with each other, we all have a part to play within each other's lives. And that's the way God designed us. But as this man, Jeremiah, went down to the potter's house, he said there was a vessel that was marred in the hands of the potter. As he got there, as Jeremiah arrived at the potter's house, he was watching him. He saw how he had this lump of clay, how he was squeezing it. You know, sometimes when God makes us, we can squeeze sometimes. I mean, you have to put some pressure on that clay to help it to become what it should be. And do we jump off the wheel because the pressure has been turned up? No, we stay there. Because during the pressure, that's our place of perfection. During the pressure, that's the place where he's making us. You don't want to just get a lump of clay and throw it down and just touch and say, okay, now, whatever you want to be, you become that. No, what God does, he takes that clay. And every one of us is that clay. Every one of us is that clay that is in the hand of God. And we're on that wheel. And God said, I'm making you a perfect vessel. I'm making you what I want you to be. And even though in life sometimes we tend to get marred and sometimes we may jump off the wheel and sometimes we might try to do things our way because we think, God, I think I know a little bit better. Lord, I know me a little bit better than you know me. But is that true? No. But sometimes we feel like we can do a better job than God can do. But God is saying, if you stay on the wheel, if you let me make you what I want you to be, then you'll come forth as gold, tried in the fire, purified, washed. This is what God is trying to do in our lives. The vessel became marred in the potter's hand. But here's the good news. The potter didn't get rid of the clay. He didn't get rid of the vessel. Yes, you might be sitting here today feeling like your life is all marred. Your life is messed up. There's no hope. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. Thank God for his love and kindness, for his long passion and mercy, that he doesn't just throw you away. People might throw you away. People might say you're not good for anything. People might say you're not fit for anything. But the mercy of God, he doesn't throw you away. What he did was he took that same lump of clay and he began to rework it. He began to make it again into another vessel. He began to make it into a vessel that was pleasing to him. And that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. If you feel like your life is just all marred and messed up, God is saying, don't give up. I'm not throwing you to the wayside. I'm not getting rid of you. Just get in my hands and stay on the wheel. Let me make you Because that's how much he loves us. He loves us so much that he's willing to take that same lump and say, let me take it and work with it now. Whereas others might say, well, take that lump and get rid of it. God is not like that. God is not like that. You got a lot of people that have followed Jesus a long time. And because of trials, because of tests, many find themselves following Jesus at a distance. There was one time you knew you was close to the Lord. You prayed, you sought him. The only thing you had in your mind is, I want to please God. But then life set in. Challenges set in. Issues came. And then we begin to back up and follow God at a distance. But the scripture tells us that we're not of those who draw back into perdition, but we are those that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, I don't care what life brings my way. I know who holds my life. I know who's in control. It's God that's in control. God is saying, just if you can just get your hands off the wheel long enough for me to drive and pilot this plane, you'll see I can take you where you didn't think you can go. Man, Star Trek ain't got nothing on God. He'll take us places that we had never dreamed we could go. Why? Because we got our confidence in the Lord. Even though you might have drifted, God is saying this day, this second day of August, we're going to move this thing ahead. 2026. God said, I can take your life today. You ain't got to wait to September. You can do it today. God is ready for you now. Even though you've gone through life challenges and you feel like your life is on a downward spiral. I think if I ask the question, does anyone feel that way, that seems like your life is on a downward spiral, like it just seems like it's going nowhere? I believe, don't do it, but I believe that will be some hands that will raise up and say, yeah, I kind of feel that way sometimes. That may be the way you feel, but God could take you in spite of your past mistakes, in spite of your past sin, those things that make you feel like you're in a spiritual prison, feel like your life is in total confusion, like your life is in total chaos, like you feel no help at all, you're in prison, and feel like they gave you a sentence, life has given you a sentence that said, no chance of parole. You're in this position for life. But God is saying that's not true. God is saying, let me take your life and let me make it all over again. And I know we go through things in life. I'm not minimizing life itself. But what I'm saying, in spite of what we deal with in life, the Lord is saying, I still want to take that broken vessel. You may be looking like a picture of health on the outside. You may have the biggest smile on your face. You may be the life of the party, but deep down inside, you're hurting. You're hurting. You're wounded. You're bruised. You feel cut down inside your spirit. And nobody knows because you've done a good job of concealing it. But when you're not around the crowd and around the people that hurt, that wound, it begins to redevelop. It begins to fester up again. God is saying, I want to take your life. Jesus said, I didn't come to take your life. I came to give life. Do you understand that today? He's not trying to hold anything back from us. Adam and Eve thought, the devil tried to make Adam and Eve think that God was holding something back from them. But oh, what God had for them was far greater than what they allowed the enemy to trick them into partaking of. And the enemy might try to tell you that same kind of stuff. But I'm here to inform you today, what God has for you and I is far greater than what you can imagine. So don't let past mistakes and your failures keep you from coming to God. Do you hear me today? God wants to take your life. And like I said, instead of getting rid of you, his desire is to make you all over again. He wants to take you. He wants to reshape your life. He wants to make you again as a new vessel. Are you willing to let him do it? That's the question. Are you willing to let him do it? When we get out of the potter's hand, every single time, not sometime, but when we get off the potter's wheel, out of the potter's hand, every single time, problems come, chaos come, we mess up, don't we? See, now we like to confess what other folk do, but we have a hard time confessing our own, don't we, sometimes? Yeah, but we know every time we get out, we know when we've gotten out of the will of God. God said, yeah, you have done it. But he said, okay. I'm not getting rid of you. I'm not throwing you to the wayside. But I still want to take your life and make something out of it. The sixth verse once again said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? He's asking a question. And I will say the answer should be yes. House of Israel, when he's talking about house of Israel, he's talking about you and I tonight, today. He's talking to every one of us. Can he do with us what he wants to do? After all, he's the creator of the universe. After all, he created us. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. After all, the very breath that we breathe is his breath. The legs we walk on came from him. Everything we have, the mind that we have, the eyes we see, the things we take for granted, came from God. So can't we see then how God has the authority without our permission to take our lives and make it what he wanted to be? He's not telling you, oh, you got to really fight. He's saying, well, just relax. Come on. Just settle down. Greyhound used to have a saying, just sit down, relax, and leave the driving to us. But can we do that? Can we say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to just let you take my life. Lord, I surrender my all to you. And surrendering is a good thing. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It takes a real man and a real woman to say, Lord, I give my life to you, Lord. It takes a real person to say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Pride will say, oh, yes, you can. But humility will say, I need God. Pride keeps us from really surrendering our lives to God. You know, we especially as men, sometimes we have a problem with the word submission. See, we want to put the word submission just for the wives. But sometimes we as men have an issue with submission. We don't want to submit ourselves to the authority and leadership and rulership of God. And he can take your life and make it over again. God is the potter. We are the clay. He has the authority to take your life and to take my life and to reshape it again. God can make and take the most damaged property. And I got a feeling that there's some sitting right here today that's probably saying, that's me. Man, my life is damaged. My life is really ruined. My life is really messed up. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what I've gone through. But the Lord can take the most damaged property on the planet and take that property, take that vessel, and still remake it. I think that ought to be the focal point of our lives, Lord, that knowing that God can still take us no matter what we've done, no matter what we've gone through, no matter where we come from, God is able to still take our lives and reshape it, remake it, and make us a vessel of honor in his house. And then you'll be saying, Lord, I'm so glad that I didn't give up. God, I'm glad I didn't quit. I didn't walk away from you when I wanted to. When troubles came, when other folks said, like Job's wife said, won't you curse your God and just give up and die? That's what the enemy will try to tell you. Just give it up. Change is not coming. Lord is not concerned about you. The book of Revelation, the third chapter, the 20th verse, says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him. This is from the New King James Version. And he with me. Usually when we read Revelation 3 and 20, what do we say? He's speaking to the sinners. He's speaking to the old sinner. The Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on the door of your heart. But in actuality, he's speaking to the church. He was speaking to a church that had, they were still in the church, but they had a distance of serving God. He said, I hadn't gotten rid of you. I hadn't cast you to the side, but I am knocking at your door. But if you would open the door, oh, God is saying, open the door to your heart. Like he told Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come out the tree. He could have stayed up and said, no, I like it up here where it is. Just observing. But he said, open the door and let me in. Yes, he want to come in your life, my life. He want to make his abode with us. And all he is saying is, you just open up the door and I want to come in. I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to the church. And if any man, not gender-wise, but if any human, man or woman, male or female, will just open the door. Do you feel like you've closed the door to the Lord in your life? Do you feel like you've gone so far, I just closed the door on him? You know, I'll just have a casual conversation with him from time to time. But, you know, I don't really want to make no commitment to him, you know, because I ain't ready for that. But he said, church, I'm knocking on your door. Let me in. Don't put me out. Don't keep me on the outside. I want to come in to you. I want to sup with you. The 21st verse says, to whom who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now listen to what the 22nd verse says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Do you have an ear to hear today? Are you really hearing what the Lord is trying to speak to your spirit? Are you really allowing him to enter your heart so he can speak to you, to your heart? Are you concerned about what somebody else might think if I really let him into my life? Don't worry about what anybody thinks, people of God. Don't worry about it, how anybody else feels about it. Because a walk with God is an individual walk. It's not a family affair. All we love to see our family say, but it's an individual walk with God. And even though your life may be messed up, God is saying this day, not January 1st, this day, I'm ready to come in. I'm ready to bring a godly change in your life. I'm ready to remake you. My question is, are we ready? And only you and I can answer that question, whether we're ready or not. Just think about Apostle John was in prison on an island of Patmos preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, he could have said, Lord, I've been preaching you, been living for you, standing up for you. Now here I am, exiled on an island. But that exiling opened up a door and opportunity for him. It wasn't for his harm, it was for his good. Because he was on that island, exiled, and the angel came to him. The angel of God, God will come to you in your darkest moment. God will come to you in the least time you expect it. God will come to you in the time you feel like you're the most vulnerable, the most just outcast. I'm just an outcast. That's when God wants to come to you. But the Satan, the devil, will try to tell you, God is not concerned about you. He's not concerned about you. The same revelation is trying to warn God's people today that we have to live a totally committed life for Christ. And don't you know you can do it? Because he wanted you. Jesus gave his life for you and I. It was the religious leaders that exiled John. Religious leaders that had Peter and Paul and the other disciples persecuted and murdered. It was religion that did it. But the Spirit of God kept them holding on. And that same God that was in them, that same God is you and I. The same God is in you and I. Jesus trying to get into our lives today. Let him, come on, people, let's go ahead and be willing to let him into your business. You hear me today? Let him into your business. He said, no, I ain't let him into my business. I mean, I'm a personal person. I don't let him into my business. Well, I got news for you, newsflash. You already know your business. Huh? You already know your business, so we might as well just let him on in there so he can work it out for us. He already know our ups and downs. He already know the dark secrets. He already know the past. It's like I'm hiding this from God. No, we're not hiding nothing from God. So we might as well come under God and say, okay, Lord, you see my life. You see my life is all messed up. Lord, you see all the mistakes I've made. You see all the issues that I've got in life. And because you see them in a way, I allow you, I want you to take my life now. In spite of all that stuff, in spite of all that baggage, in spite of all those things that you feel is hidden away from the eyes of man, now we can say, okay, Lord, now take my life. I want you to take me, Lord. I want you to make me over again, Lord. I'm not happy with the direction I'm going. I'm not happy with the things I've done. Lord, I hate the things, the mistakes that I've made, but God's saying, I understand. Give your life to me and I can take your life. I can be like that potter. I can take that clay and make it all over again. I can take that lump of clay. I can make your life so productive that it would astonish you. And people be saying, is that the same John? Is that the same whoever? Only because God took that clay. Something that you couldn't do yourself. Something that we can't do ourselves. Something that I can't do. God has to take us and make us over again. Amen? Amen. Psalms 51, we're about to close. 51:10, it says here, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It sounds like a plea. A plea from a person who once walked with God. It sounds like a plea from a person who once had a relationship with God. Sounds like a plea from a person who was once close to God. You said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And not only created me a clean heart, but God, renew a right spirit within me. Renew this spirit within me, Lord. As I close, let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Is there anyone in here today that feel like your life is over, useless, no benefit to God or anyone else? Then you're the one that the Lord is speaking to and saying, cry out to me and say, Lord, make me over again. Just like he took this lump of clay that was on the wheel of the potter. How God took it and made it over again. I guarantee you this day, if you would say, Lord, just take me and make me over again, he'll do just that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give God a big hand praise. Amen.
Amen. If you came here wounded today, you should leave whole. Thank God for the man of God who came with the word that encouraged his people, right? We have a few announcements to make. Remember, as always, to support this ministry and those like it so the word, the truth, the gospel can go forth. And if you have not already, get a copy of that book that Pastor wrote, Show Me Your Glory. And we do have Ignite Prayer this Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And with that said, we're going to end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your beauty, your wisdom. We thank you for truth coming forth of this podium. We thank you for the man of God. God, I pray that right now you would just pour into him as he poured into your people. Bless him 100-fold. I pray that you would protect him, his family, as they travel back, God. I thank you for every person that came to hear this word. Let it be heard, not with their ears, but with their heart. Do not leave here going back the same. leave here changed. Let that word take root, God, so that you, God, will get the increase. God, we thank you for everything you're doing in this ministry. We thank you for the people of God. I pray that you will bless these people. I pray that you will encourage them. Let this word sink deep within them and let them leave here revived, God. Speak to their spirit continually throughout this day. Let it not anything come Monday morning to take away what they heard this day. God, I thank you for being who you are. We thank you for being Lord and Savior of our lives. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, amen. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day.